Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Padonis. Tonight we're going to preview round 21, and we went 4-1 to bring our record up 36-30, 55% now for the season. So another good week last week. Not a perfect week, lost the mixed matchup by 1 point. But on Saturday last week, we hit 10 straight best bet winners in a row, and we did celebrate that because that's only been done a handful of times in Tripod history. And to win 10 in a row, if you were picking blindly, 2A markets is lower than a 1 in a 1,000 probability. So it is pretty hard to do. We didn't just do it. We did it in front of your eyes. We shared you the reasoning. And in a season where we've copped a fair share of criticism, and some rightfully so, you have to achieve, you have to celebrate an achievement like that, I should say. What happened the very next game? We had Brisbane minus 15.5. And they lost by 14. So that killed our streak. It killed two multis paying 33-1 and 19-1. We got completely humbled and reminded ourselves and everyone else that we just don't get every game right. No one does. But we rebounded. We won the final game of round 20. And we are now looking ahead to round 21. And we're going to give you the players that, in our eyes, give us the best chance for success yet again. And that begins with the Eels plus half a try at $1.80 on Bet365 there at Manly. We understand it's a highly important game for Manly season, no doubt. But when I look at Parramatta, this team believes they can win the comp. And fact of the matter is, when you beat Penrith and you beat them twice, you can win the comp. We know they've lost their halfback, Mitchell Moses won't play, but that's about the only major injury this side currently has. You've got injured player theory working in Parramatta's favour. I think Marnie, Madison, Brown, Gutho can all look to do a little bit more. Parramatta currently sitting equal fourth on points. And they play a Manly side that we just can't be certain right now are completely tight-knit, or how they're going to respond to such a tumultuous week. If both teams bring it, it's going to be a tight game and you still don't mind the plus a half a try. And if one team's a bit off, I reckon it could be Manly. And the extra advantage of the plus half a try is Parramatta's without their first-choice kicker. But you take kicking out of the equation with that bet. The next best bet, South Sydney minus 6.5 points in the first half at $1.89 on Top Sport. And I'll hand over to you, Padonis, to share our key reasoning.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. And yes, so South will lose no admirers off the back of last week. And I think that this is a great bounce back spot for them. Tane Milne does return to offset the loss of Cartwright, and Nichols is back up front. So they are in a good position to put in a strong showing. And yes, we acknowledge that this match is on a neutral venue. South aren't at home. But we've spoken about it before that with teams with very little to play for at this stage of the year, you need to find an extra edge to back them. And the Warriors just don't have that this week. They're coming off a showing last week against the Storm, where they put in a big effort. They're going to be a bit flat here. And I like South to start well, put in a strong showing, and we're getting a great number to do that.
Yeah, we certainly are. We're also going to take the Sharkies minus 1.5 tries, $1.85. Also Top Sport, also available on Dabble. And you can copy that from at Jacob Wynn right now. Tell us why, Padonis.
Yeah, so this is a little bit controversial, but for me, it almost felt like that second half against the Cows last week was the Dragon season coming to an end. Such was the manner in their defeat. And even with the injury to Kennedy, there's a definitive gap between these two sides. And I'm not sure that this line is high enough. I definitely have it above 10. And we've seen time again that the Dragons need to get into a tussle and a dogfight to stay within these games. But the Sharks have shown they can play in a multitude of ways, and they can beat you physically, or they can also spread the play and get to the edges. So I really feel that this game is going to go very similarly to how it did when they first met back in their first meeting. And I've got the Sharks winning convincingly.
Totally agree. And I also think the Cowboys are going to win convincingly. We're playing minus 9.5 at $1.90. Sports Bet, Ladbrokes and Neds are play at Bundaberg against the Canterbury Bulldogs, and Padonis, major factors.
Yeah, so the Dogs have played pretty well recently. There's no denying that. But if you look at their last two opponents in the Titans and the Knights, they're both sides that had very little to play for and low in confidence. And I think that some people are forgetting that this dog side does have their own issues, and it's going to be a tough day for them up front because the Cowboys are going to dominate them through the middle, and it'll be a different proposition for them to defend on the edges. The Cows are even stronger with Ruben Cotter back into the fold now, and this is a neutral venue at Bundaberg, so they're going to have the majority of the support behind them. And let's not forget that revenge factor going all the way back to round one, where the Cows lost at home to the Dogs. So they're not going to forget that, and they're going to put in a strong showing. And again, it's another one where I feel the line should be above double digits.
The Trent Barrett coached Bulldogs, no less. And one other player, a guy who plays in the forward pack for the Cowboys, that is playing unbelievable. And it's not Tamalolo. Jeremiah Nanai, absolute insatiable form. He was in amazing touches. We spoke about the recap, and we got him on our side in that best bet again this week, which is at our fourth of four best bets. But we'll talk about all the games in depth very shortly. Firstly, let's hear how the markets are shaping up from our show sponsor, TopSport.
Hello, Tripod family. Tristan Merlihan here from TopSport again. And it's a very crucial round for a lot of teams where hopefully there can be a little bit more talk about what's happening on the field this weekend, where the first game between the Roosters and the Broncos is crucial for both sides. The Roosters just snuck into the top eight with their win against that depleted Manly side last week, and the Broncos are on the verge of that top four with Melbourne having a very tough run home. It's $1.61 the Roosters, $2.35 the Bronx. It's already moved from 2.5 out to 4.5, so the market is with the Roosters. But something I'd be mindful of when you're having a punt this weekend, if you like any of those rough sides, have a look to see if there's any opportunity to take a little bit of a position on any of the futures. So, for example, if you think the Broncos are a chance in this game, I'll be specking them for the top four, because I do think there's going to be some significant swings over the next fortnight based on some of these results, because there are a lot of the sides in the mix playing against each other. And another one of those games is Manly against Parramatta, where Manly have firmed up, obviously, on the back of Mitchell Moses out. It's gone from pick 'em to $1.82, Manly $2. They get a lot of their troops back on deck. It'll be interesting how they all play cohesively. And the game that I find fascinating this week is the Bulldogs against the Cowboys. The Bulldogs have been a much improved outfit. The Cowboys obviously just take every challenge in front of them at the moment, and there's been a heavy bout of support for the Cowboys, gone from 6.5 out to 10.5. So punters all over the Cowboys, despite the fact the Bulldogs have been much improved. And then the last game, that's going to be a tricky one, because we've seen what's happened up there in Newcastle with a lot of controversy off the pitch. We'll see how the players shape up this weekend. So good luck if you're having a punt, and I'm really excited for the weekend. And as I said, check out a few of those futures if you are having a little wager on any of the roughies this weekend.
Thanks, Tristan. I give a little bit of advice for futures when it comes up to the relevant game as well. But we kick off the round with Roosters hosting the Brisbane Broncos at the SCG, and the Broncos are +5.5. The Roosters have Egan Butcher and Lindsay Collins out, while the Broncos have an even bigger out, Pat Carrigan, as we know, but Cobbo is a notable big in. Now, these sides played a game that went down to the wire earlier this season at Suncorp, if you recall. And in fact, Brisbane got the outright upset, biggest upset of 2021 at the SCG against this opponent last year. So before we preview it, you know we don't have a best bet. We'll share our thoughts, but let's get the thoughts from someone that's actually played for both of these clubs first. Here's the Axe.
G'day. I've picked out three games this weekend. Roosters versus the Broncos, Raiders versus Penrith, and the Sharkies versus the Dragons. I think they'll be the three best games of the round, round 21. So the Roosters versus the Broncos, Pat Carrigan, massive loss to Brisbane. They've got a couple of really good young forwards, Brisbane, you know, most notably KB Hetherington. I think he's going to be a really good player down the track, but you can't replace Pat Carrigan. So I think the Roosters, they were ordinary last week, Brisbane, against the Tigers, taking nothing away against the Tigers, but they'll be a lot better than that, Brisbane. But the Roosters, me, in a close one. The Raiders versus Penrith, oh, holy moly. They've won their last three. Canberra, Ricky Stewart's got them playing really good footy. As I said earlier in the year, Penrith have the best depth in the competition. But I'm going to go the Raiders at home as well. They got momentum. How good's Joe Tarpany, their front row playing? He's probably the form player of the competition at the moment. Sharks versus the Dragons, a local derby. Craig Fitzgibbon has got the Sharkies firing, and their defence is back on track after a bit of a speed hump after a couple of weeks. But it's a local derby. It'll be a fiery game too. Don't worry about that. There'll be a few penalties in this game, so don't take your eyes off this game, because there'll be something happening all the time. Don't worry about that. So I've gone the Roosters, the Raiders and the Sharks, so in those three games. But if you like, either one of the other teams as well. So anything can happen. So good luck and good punting.
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks to Dabble for making that available for us. Use the code TRIPOD if you want to jump on. You can follow myself, the Podonis, Trevor, many others. Bad loss by your boys last week, Podonis, the one side that let us down. Do you reckon they can rebound this week? Gilly doesn't think so.
Gilly doesn't think so, but I'll definitely feel that they will, and they'll put it in a much stronger showing, which will be disappointing for us because we had them last week and they let us down, as you touched on in the recap, a 13 plus defeat when they were an 18.5 favorite at that closing market. So it was a pretty big discrepancy from the market expectation. But I think at the moment of this line at 4.5, it's telling us that the Roosters are definitely the better side, but I'm not really sure that I agree with that. And yes, I understand that both teams are dealing with injuries and suspensions, but I think I've got these teams rated pretty equal at the moment. I give the edge in the Roosters to the outside backs for sure, because they have the game's best fullback in Tedesco and centre, and they're both in top form with Manu there. And the halves, I'd say, are pretty even. And if I had to lean one side, I'd probably lean with Adam Reynolds' kicking game, both goal kicking and in general playing last tackle. And as far as the forward pack, a lot of people are making a lot of noise about Carrigan. And yes, he's a big loss, but they are fully fit up front without him, whereas the Roosters are dealing with some of their injuries themselves. And when I look at their bench and see two debutants on there, I think their rotation looks a little bit thin for me, and I'll probably give the edge to the Broncos there. So I do have this line at 2.5, which is where it was earlier in the week. And since Carrigan got his suspension, the line moved to 4.5. I don't agree that his suspension warrants a two-point move. He's not one of those key halves players that normally you'd see go through a key number four. And I do respect the Roosters in their recent resurgence, and they have beat up on the Dragons and the Knights, and they face an understrength Manly. So there's an argument to say, how well are they really going? But this will be a much different test for them. And it's a, you call it a top six battle, because the Roosters are right there, and they have a chance to be level on points with the Broncos if they do win this game. One win behind them. But yeah, at the price point, I'd lean the Broncos at 4.5, but I could make a case for both sides. So it's a tough one to have any real confidence to lean either way, I think.
Interesting your opinion about Carrigan, because I think he's going that well and he's that important that he absolutely warrants the line moving through a key number. I think absolutely the line should move, but I disagree with it moving after he got suspended, because everyone knew he was going to be suspended. The only question really going into the judiciary was how many games is he going to get. In the end, he got four. So if you liked the Roosters, you had to play it. Just knowing Carrigan was facing, like, was sanctioned, it was going to face a ban for that. And if you're playing it now, you're getting an inferior number based on information that, as far as I'm concerned, was already available to you. I lean the other direction. I do think right at this point in time, and with that Carrigan loss, the Roosters are the better side. And so I say advantage Roosters. I know that Brisbane's a good team off a bad loss, but I think Roosters are just as desperate. You're talking about top six, but the Roosters are equal on points with the ninth placed Raiders and have a tougher run home. They are desperate. They need to win to make sure they play finals. Sydney also comes into the game off a Thursday game last week, getting that full week turnaround. Pretty valuable this time of year while Brisbane's got to travel and is off a five-day layoff. And Brisbane also had the tougher game, which you wouldn't have thought, but West's effort and Manly's outs meant that Brisbane had a harder battle, I believe. The Axe talks about Hetherington, and you talk about Brisbane having that great forward pack. And then look, Hetherington himself, great, young, aggressive player, but arguably Carrigan, as I said before, has elevated to be among the best, if not the best lock in the game. I rate him that highly. And you look back to Saturday, that night, you know, probably cost Brisbane a top four spot in retrospect, dropping 2 points you had to have, and your best forward is going to miss next month. And I know the Roosters lost two forwards as well, so you're right to say they are thin in that area, but I think they've just got enough cover. And I think, you know, that mid-season pick up a Lodge, it helps, because they would be really short on middles if not. And it's simplistic, but I kind of say what you said there about the outside backs. I think those are the game breakers and they're the difference. And you mentioned Teddy, you mentioned Manu, and I think you've got to talk about Suwali as well, plus home field advantage. That's why I would lean the Roosters, you lean the other way. Moving to Friday, Storm hosting the Titans, and Titans are plus 17.5. A week ago, the Storm had lost four in a row. They had Brisbane, Parramatta, and South Sydney breathing down their necks. What's happened since then? Brisbane lost a game and a key player. South's lost in Golden Point. Parramatta lost their halfback, while the Storm went and got a win, and now they get to come home and play 16th on the ladder, welcoming back Brandon Smith, welcoming in Nofaluma. Don't forget about Xavier Coates, an Origin winger who is in the reserves this week. He's either back or he's not far away. That's a pretty good week for Melbourne. And although it wasn't completely positive, they suffered some further outside back injuries or losses. Meaney injured in New Zealand, and Olam has COVID. So Anderson is going to slot into the centres. and Wishart will play fullback. For the Titans, Jaden Campbell gets the start, which moves Brimson to six, and they have a winger on their bench in Marzu. But in fairness, you've seen this guy play. He could probably play prop if needed. How do you see this one, Padonis?
Yeah, it was a great week for the Storm, and I think the destiny's in their own hands now for the top four with such a superior differential. I think it's 100 points better than Brisbane and the Eels. So they did get a much-needed win against the Warriors last week, and now that their top four's in their own hands, I do think that they're going to go on with it, especially coming up against some of these lesser teams in the next few weeks, because they do have some tough games as well coming up. So I look at Penrith next week, and again, that's going to be a lot easier for them without having to face them with Cleary and Luai there. But I do acknowledge that they are light in the outside backs. Nofaluma will help, but that seems to be what everyone's talking about. And I think all they need from these backup guys is just to simply do their job. And we've seen how good the Storm are as a system, that they're a scary proposition. It doesn't matter who lines up, especially when you've got Munster, Hughes and Grant. That's a massive edge to me over the Titan spine, who has dropped Toby Sexton this week. And they're going with Brimson and Boyd, who's another new halves pairing. And arguably, that to me is a little bit weaker than what it was in the last few weeks. And they still struggled. And no one's ever questioned the talent in their roster, but I think it's the application and effort, which has been so poor. And you touched on in the recap, Jacob, when you said that they're quite soft in defense and some of the tries that they do concede. And I don't trust them to stay within three tries in this game. And I'd probably lean Storm if I was forced. I certainly wouldn't be willing to bet on the Storm either, because I do think it'll be one of those games where they're just going to focus on trying to improve themselves and getting the win, and rather than trying to push the scoreboard. I said that last week, and I definitely felt that was the case. And you saw it with Bellamy taking the two quite a few times when they were up in the second half, whereas Storm in past years, when they're up by 10 or 12 points, you just tap and go from there. So I definitely feel that that's a factor, and I would lay Storm, but I definitely see them winning and can't see the Titans winning, but yeah, no bet for me.
That's right. They're not quite the Storm of old that would have eviscerated a team like New Zealand. And the Storm of old, you would never question. If they brought in a guy you hadn't heard of who hadn't played many first grade games, you just assumed he was going to come in and just look the part. But this year they have struggled. So I do think it's fair to question, you know, their outside backs, because not only it is costing them executing some tries, they're letting some in as well. But I do feel like the reinforcements are starting to arrive or just around the corner. And after being through a really tough stretch that would have been no fun for them, it does feel to me like they've turned a bit of a corner. And I have set the last 3 weeks, they miss Brandon Smith. Well, now he's back, and that really boosts them on both sides of the ball. And I think rival sides having losses or setbacks is a boost to them as well, because anything can happen. Still a long way to go. The season is still, you know, alive for sure, as you say. They're in the box seat to make the top four. And the biggest gift of all is you get to come home and you play the 16th place Gold Coast Titans. Why can't I lay this line? For one, because everyone wants to bet against the Titans, so I doubt you're getting, you know, a great deal of value on the Titans. And yeah, I could actually make the argument, I don't know about Boyd versus Sexton. I probably would have Sexton in there, but it's close to the best 17 that the Titans arguably have picked all season. And of course, they come into this game with nothing to lose, which can be a worrying thing. But ultimately, I know Melbourne's going to win this game. And you mentioned Munster, Grant, Smith, Hughes. The Titans can't hold a team with those players out for sustained periods, so they won't, and Melbourne will win comfortably. But whether or not it's over that handicap, we're not feeling strongly enough to say. But we have taken the Eels plus half a try at Four Pines Park against the Seagulls. They're 1.5-point underdogs with the handicap. This feels like a game you can't miss. It could be a cracker of a game. So we know Manly had 7 players out last week, but one of the players that was out last week was Aloe, who was injured anyway. He's still not back. Another was Schuster, who is actually in jersey 18 and, curiously for this game, currently not in the side. I think Davey is in concussion protocol, and you'd logically think Schuster slots in if Davey doesn't pass that. The remaining 5, Tupolotu, Saab, Kola, Oluquatu, and Sipley do return. The Eels miss Mitch Moses, as we know, after the finger injury sustained in the Panthers win. So another Jacob that's been highly scrutinised and criticised at times this season, the coach's son, Jacob Arthur, is going to wear the number 7. And I've already explained why we have a best bet on this, but why don't you add to that, Padonis?
Yeah, this game was an interesting one for me, especially when I looked at this line, because I think under normal circumstances, with Manly's season on the line, I would favour them at Brookvale. And with Mitch Moses out, the line does feel on paper that it could even be higher than 1.5. You could argue it could be 2.5. But I think that there's something to be said about last week's events with the rainbow jersey fiasco. And there's a question mark over how together the squad is. And that's something that you touched on at the top of the show. And some of the senior players might feel let down by some of these of their other teammates. And if that's the case, then I could question their attitude and what will their mentality look like coming into this game. I know they put up a fight and an effort last week, but how much of that was the Roosters just not applying themselves in the second half versus Manly really being in tune and together? And Parramatta did get an unlikely win last week with Cleary send-off helping them greatly in that. So they don't want to lose that advantage, I think, and they're going to really come into this game focused. And Jacob Arthur, he's not the best replacement for me. I've got some question marks over his ability, but I think they have enough around them in their other spine members with Brown and Marnie and Gutho to be able to cover them and put them in the right parts of the field. And I think that they can dominate Manly up front, especially. And I think this is a case of the wrong team's probably favoured. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Parramatta starting a small favourite. So I really love getting their plus half a try. And we could see a great effort from them on Friday night.
I think Parramatta should be favoured. One of the reasons I like the best bet. I don't think they'll start favourites. I think your general person on the street thinks Manly will logically get these players back and win and thinks Parra, no Mitch Moses, Arthur's terrible, only in the team because coach's son, you know, narrative, right? At least he's played a handful of games. And, you know, hey, there's another ball player in this team who was the Australian Schoolboys number 7 as well, locking the scrum for Parramatta in Ryan Madison as well. So I'll make the counter case for Manly and why other people liking them and why they're favourite. If you like Manly, you're saying it's not a split dressing room. They all respect each other's decisions and opinions and belief. And in reality, every club, you know, would have division among those things in their club. You got not only the 5 players back, but they're fresh and they're actually going to be really eager to dispel any doubts over their commitment. And they want to come back just in time to save their season because it's truly do or die. I don't believe Manly's going to make the finals, but they still can. It's still in their destinies, in their hands, if they win their remaining games. And they're at home. And Manly did show some spirit against the Roosters when they fell behind. They kind of made a little fight back in that one. And, of course, Parramatta's missing arguably their most important player. And let's not forget the Eels are notorious for not backing up good performances. And in general, the point you made, historically, if you take a home team whose season is on the line, it's a pretty strong spot in the NRL. But I go back to the points I made about Parramatta, that I know this team is together and has great belief, and rightfully so, and they can cover up for the loss of Moses, as we've discussed. And what we don't know is actually how Manly responds. And I don't think the bet hinges on that. I think it's a free roll that if this Manly side is just not bought in together and their season, and it's akin to the barbecue of the Dragons that just totally derailed their year last year, you've got a great bet. And if you go two teams that go to war on Friday night together, you still got a perfectly fine bet with the plus half a try. That still wins in the event of a tight finish as well. I think we both agree. Like, we like Parramatta in this game. That's an excellent way to play that one if you agree with us. On Saturday, the South Sydney Rabbitohs play the Warriors at the Sunny Coast. I was meant to be going to this one with some of the guys, including The Undertaker, but I've got a family member with COVID, and that's going to make me have to miss this one, which is a shame because I would have loved to see the South side in person. Mitchell is worth the price of admission alone. Although the Rabbitohs have lost Cartwright, Nikarima, Burgess, they regain Milne, as you said, Nichols, and they recall Blake Taff. New Zealand are going to be without Harris Tavita and Tavanga. Wade Egan's going to start 5'8", Blusick at 9, Walsh is in the 1, Penne locks the scrum, and Bailey Sirinen is also back and starting second row, which shifts Aitken to the centres. Additional thoughts on this game for Donis, our best bet being -6.5 in the first half.
Yeah, so I think with that reshuffled spine for the Warriors after they copped 2 injuries in that Storm game last week with Tavanga and Harris Tavita, I think it's going to really stuff up their attack early on, especially. And that's why we do favour the first half line as well. And when you throw into the mix the first meeting that these guys had at Magic Round with South nearly blowing a 30-point lead in that second half after starting well, then I don't think they're going to let the same mistake happen again. And Latrell Mitchell is back in this team now. And I think we saw last week that the Storm created enough opportunities against this Warriors defense that if they had the right plays in the back line and they were able to execute some of those plays, and the scoreline would have looked a lot worse. But I definitely feel like Souths are a team that can take advantage of those same mistakes and those same defensive lapses. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the score blow out in both halves. So I would take Souths in both halves. If you guys like Souths, I'll be happy to lay them as well. I think you can get a -9.5 in the second half. And I know that's around 10.5 on some places, but I really feel that Souths are really going to be aimed in and switched on here. And I think it's the case of the Warriors are going to pick and choose some of their spots heading out towards the back end of the year.
And people might be wondering, we talk about liking the big favourite more so in the second half or for the full game and rarely for the first half. But this is a bit of an extreme case where this line is above 18, approaching 20 in places, but we can still lay under 8 for the first half. So that's a pretty significant edge, and points are worth more in a half. And if I believe that line's got to be 8.5 or higher, we can get 6.5. And we already lean to Souths, then it's a pretty simple handicap for me, and I'm happy to take that and very comfortable to take that. And look, the unknown is, what are we going to get out of New Zealand? Because they're not in the finals race and they're not in front of their home fans. And I reckon your guess is as good as mine. On days when New Zealand puts it together and attacks well, they can put on a few points. And I feel like in this game, they need to do that, because if they're not attacking and they're not scoring against Souths, they'll be conceding. That I'm sure of. So, you know, whether their passes stick, and I don't know how many points it would take for the Warriors to cover this game. You feel like maybe if the Warriors score 3 or more tries, you'd be within 18, but I got no confidence of that. Whereas I look at South Sydney, this is a gun football side that's playing really well. And look, a really tough loss last week. Any of Latrell's field goals, not to put the loss on him, but any of those hit the mark and it's a huge win. And you're surging towards top 4. But unfortunately, it doesn't go over. You have a narrow defeat. It's hard to pick yourself up. But there's still 5 weeks to go. And what Souths wouldn't have lost is any confidence in their ability, because they went and played a really strong top 4 caliber side on their home ground and played them right down to the wire and easily could have won. And I expect that they can bring that application in on Saturday, and they're just going to be a level or two clearly above New Zealand. Later Saturday, how about this game? The Raiders host the Panthers. The line is Penrith -3.5 at GIO. This is a huge game, especially in the context of Canberra's season, which ultimately decides, you know, who's going to make the top 8 as they sit 9th. One thing to understand about Canberra, which you've mentioned a few times, I project they would be favourites every game after this one for the rest of the season. And although they're not favourites here, it's absolutely winnable, as we're going to discuss. They've gone for no major changes from the side that easily defeated the Titans, while the Panthers, as you all know, will be without Nathan Cleary, remainder of the season suspended, on top of Luai already out for the remainder of the season with the knee injury. So O'Sullivan starts halfback. Salmon is at 5'8". The Panthers do get a big boost with Stephen Crichton returning in the centres, and Mitch Kenny's back on the bench. Trevor Gilmeister, as you heard, is picking a Raiders outright upset. Do you agree with that, Padonis?
I think I'm right there with him, Jacob. I do like Canberra in this one. And I think for me, losing both halves in Cleary and Luai, if you look at the replacements they do have, I'd say it's a 10-point downgrade. And that's the way that I would rate that team. And you do have to respect the form and the momentum that Canberra have behind them at the moment. And on paper, if you'd say that this is about a 4.5-point spread on paper, and when you factor in, it'll be a big occasion in Canberra and it'll be cold. It's a near sellout as well. So when you factor in the home field, I've got this line closer to 2. Canberra are still looking outside the top 8, as everyone knows. And a few weeks ago, they probably would have just marked this game down as a loss. But I think they'll be energized by the fact that they do have a genuine shot now of winning this as a small underdog, knowing what happened last week to the Panthers. And I do like the unders as well in this game, because I think it's going to be played tight and through the middle. And Canberra will look to ride the game through their big men with Hudson Young, Tarpany and Papali'i. And whilst Penrith, I don't think they're going to pose the same attacking threat, especially with Salmon and O'Sullivan running the halves there. But you do respect the Panthers side, and they are stacked full of origin talent still. So even if you did think this line was correct and spot on, then you would lean Canberra if you looked at it from a situational, motivational point of view, because although Penrith are going to be up for the contest because they only know how to win, they very rarely lose. Canberra on the more settled side, it feels to me, and I do want to take the points in a game that should go down to the wire, and I can definitely see this being a one-score game either way. So I would lean Canberra, but Jacob, I don't believe you agreed.
No, I reckon I'd lean Penrith, and I think it sounds extreme to me. Like, you may not be far off the mark, but 10 points line adjustment for a Luai Cleary halves pairing downgraded to Sullivan and Salmon. That's interesting. I don't know this off the top of my head. If you do, let me know. Otherwise, someone can say in the comments. Does anyone know what the look-ahead line was for this game? Because the only really major change has been for this game is the suspension of Cleary. So I'm curious to know, like, what this line was going to be if Cleary was playing. You know, off the top of your head, Pedonis?
Yeah, it was 10. It was 10 and a half, yeah.
So it's moved like 6.5, 7.5 points for one player. So that shows, and you know, and Cleary is extremely influential for a number of reasons that we don't need to, you know, explain. People listening or following the NRL understand. And look, it's a huge game for Raiders. I want to make clear, like, it's not do or die in the sense that the Raiders could drop this and still get into the finals, because I reckon about 4 more wins probably gets them in. And as I said before, they'll be favourites in the next 4 games. But it's huge here if they could win. Depending on how the Roosters had gone, they'd either be able to leapfrog the Roosters or they would continue to breathe down the Roosters' necks and the Roosters have a much tougher run. Plus, the Canberra Raiders are at home. As you say, at this time of the season, we're looking for disparities in motivation. We know we've got a highly motivated Canberra squad. But let me make the case for Penrith and why I lean that way. I feel like at this point with the regular season, with about 5 games to go, they now know this is our team. This is our team for the next month. They're off a humbling defeat. They've had a few players in this side that had another humbling defeat while wearing blue jerseys just a few weeks before. Their 3 wins clear top, but that almost feels beside the point because it's too far out from the finals to coast or to think that finals is all that matters. I actually feel like this is a real point where they can recalibrate and focus on playing at the highest standard that they can for the rest of the year. You've got many gun players, as you said, key players that can step up and lead the way. You've got fringe players in a deep squad that want to make their case to be part of the finals campaign. You know, it's not a shock to this side. They've played many games in the last couple of seasons without Jerome and Nathan. They are probably pretty well prepared for this, better than any other club would be if they lost their starting halves. Of course, they've got a lower ceiling, but I honestly wonder if a side that's been heavy favourites in the majority of their games is almost refreshed by the fact that it's going to be really competitive. Like, they know they have to be fully focused and they have to play their best to win. That almost could work in Ivan's favour in terms of motivating his squad and giving his team a real cause for the final 5 weeks. So I reckon they're gonna win this one. I actually reckon it's going to be a war, and I have to lean Penrith. Having said all that, you make a great case for Canberra, and Tristan made a really good point about futures bets. I reckon if you like the Raiders and reckon they can win this weekend, you back them to make the 8. You can get over $2 odds on the Raiders to make the 8. And I feel like if they win, they're going to be absolutely in the box seat. And even if they lose, as you said, like, this was never the game that they really anticipated on winning, they still have a really strong hope of getting in. So that would be a way I'd look at playing this, kind of getting that double chance if you like the green machine. But either way, it promises to be a cracking game. And later on Saturday night, the Sharks host the Dragons, a match we've got a best bet, where the line is +9.5, which is very similar, but we feel slightly better about -1.5 tries, which is our best bet on Toppy. And I described what a huge loss that was for Souths last weekend. So there's always the other side, and that's Cronulla that got a massive win. It propels them well and truly into the top 4. It's a great, you know, feel good for the home fans. It's great signs to overcome errors, overcome some close shaves, and overcome a very quality opponent in a finals intensity match. So lots of positives for the Sharkies to take out of that one. One negative would be the loss of Will Kennedy, who's going to be back for the finals at best. I think he's going to need ankle surgery. Cade Dykes is going to debut at fullback. Means Cronulla has resisted the urge to revert Nico Hines back there. He's a bit of an unknown, but I would say that the Sharkies have showed they've got good depth. What was the name of the bloke, the Sevens player? They've actually chosen Dykes ahead of him that got a debut against the Gold Coast Titans. Royce Hunt is also going to be out for this game. For the Dragons, no major changes, and I'm going to talk about why that's a good thing for us as well. You made a great point there, Fadonis, how disappointing they were in the second half against the Cows. Look, we weren't disappointed. Our best bet was Cowboys laying the second half line. But when you've got a home side that's fighting to make the finals and you dish up that when it's 10-8 and obviously you're in the game and Dragons were on the outside looking in, they would have needed an upset and they will need upsets if there's any chance of making the 8, which I should say mathematically, of course, they still are. And the Dragons are rivals, traditional rivals with the Sharkies. So, look, we do think the Dragons will be up for this. But what did I just say before? No major changes, which means they're persisting with Mbaye at fullback, Sloan on the bench. My question to you, Fadonis, do the Dragons even want to win this if they really think that's their best lineup?
Yeah, I'm not sure that Griffin really knows his best lineup at this point. I think he's just going with experience because that's what he's tended to lean on during his coaching career. But I definitely feel like there's better players in that 30-man squad that he can choose from because they need to win games. They need to score points. And that's been their struggle all year because they've been too reliant on Ben Hunt. And I think it's going to be a similar story this week. And for all our Tripod followers out there, you're going to remember round 18, we took exactly the same bet. We had -1.5 tries with the Roosters against the Dragons. And that was on a neutral field as well in Gosford. And as a simple maths point of view, I rate the Roosters and the Sharks as equal teams. And the Roosters were laying 9.5 that day. And now the Sharks are laying 9.5, but they're at home. And the Dragons, you'd argue, have gotten slightly worse on the back of that loss and also missing Ramsey, who was their most dynamic player that day. And I remember he scored 2 tries and he nearly made it uncomfortable for us until Manu put on a show. But I think with the Sharks playing at the Prism, I've got this line closer to 12. And I definitely feel like that the Sharks are going to want to keep the breathing room in that third spot, given that they're a full game ahead of the chasing pack in the Eels, Brisbane and Storm. And it's definitely much more a winnable game for them this week. And we've seen the Sharks have been complacent in the past against some of these lesser teams and some of these fringe teams that I think Fitzgibbon's going to have them dialed in at the moment. And even if this game is close at halftime, I can only see the Sharks being the team getting stronger as the game wears on, as we saw last week. And they're going to be the ones getting the separation late. And they're going to have a lot for the Dragons to handle here. And I don't think we have to worry about a close game. And I think the Sharks are going to be too strong and it's going to be the final nail in the Dragons' coffin because they are a chance mathematically, but yeah, they're going to be too far after this game.
Now, let's be honest. And you guys, if you're following for 20 rounds, you already know how we feel mostly, right? You know, we don't like the Dragons very much. We haven't backed them too many times. And they're just a frustrating side for me. They can junk up a game and for sure they can make it a dogfight. And if an opponent is napping or not totally switched on, the Dragons seem to be able to jag a few results or keep some games close, but there's always something holding St. George Illawarra back when I watch them from being consistently good and putting together, you know, really quality performances that would be fitting of a top 8 side, whether it's just their own mistakes, their own limitations, and maybe part of that is just the limitations of some of the players they have in key positions. Yeah, I haven't had much fun at all backing the Dragons when we have sparingly this season. On the other side, Cronulla, we like them quite a bit. We know Kennedy's a loss. The name I was thinking of before was Lachie Miller. When he came in, he did a great job, commendable for the Sharkies. So you kind of know, although Dykes is an unknown commodity, they're picking him ahead of Lachie Miller. As far as I know, Miller's available as well. So therefore, we've got a degree of confidence that this guy can play. And they've just got a lot of other key playmakers. We see in the highlights, or if you watch the highlights every week on Cronulla, you know they've got amazing try finishers, but what you don't see is their defense is equally important, although less heralded, and that's going to come into our mixed matchup as well. We're going to take the South Sydney Rabbitohs' first half score to outscore the Dragons for the full game. Now, that's an underdog. That's $2.55, max stake $200 you can have on Top Sport, and you can get a top of your account with the code TRIPOD if you want to. And you've heard us explain why we reckon the Rabbitohs could run a few tries in for sure at the Sunny Coast on a sunny Saturday afternoon against a Warriors, and then we think that the Sharkies will make life very difficult at the prison for the Dragons. And if the Bunnies have put on anything kind of 12, 14 plus, we've got a great bet at $2.55 that we reckon Sharkies can restrict the Dragons within. On Sunday, the Bulldogs host the Cowboys. Well, they don't really host them. It's being played at Bundaberg, and the Cowboys are 10.5 point favourites. Is that the next game? Yes.
Yeah.
I accidentally wrote the jersey giveaway comp in the wrong spot. So it's not the jersey giveaway, but that's the early Sunday game. And good on the Bulldogs for taking a match to regional Queensland, even though it feels like you're handing your opponent such an advantage, because it's hardly a neutral venue when you consider the travel and who all the support is going to be behind. But nonetheless, the Canterbury Bulldogs come in with the same 17 that beat the dismal Newcastle Knights. The Cowboys lost felt, but you got the Ferrari, Tabuai Fidoh, who comes off the bench and slots into the right wing spot. We mentioned before in round one, Canterbury Bulldogs got the win in Townsville under Trent Barrett, if you can believe that. We don't think they can do that again, Padonis.
No, that's right. And maybe they decided to take the game to Queensland so they can beat them twice in the same year in their own state. But sadly, that's going to be a pipe dream for the Dogs, and the Cows are definitely going to be able to dominate them here. And I'm just questioning how the market only sees the Cows as a 9.5 point better team. So since the coaching change with Barrett leaving there, and after we've had a few weeks to see how the Dogs played and what their new playing style looked like, they've been a plus 14.5 point underdog to Para, or 8.5 point against the Sharks, and again, 8.5 point dog against South. And those were all at their own home ground. Now we're back in a neutral venue, and the Cows are arguably stronger than all of those teams, especially with Ruben Cotter back as well. So I definitely have this line above 12.5. Again, very similar to what the Sharks-Dragons line is. And yes, fully respect how well the Dogs have gone, but we've touched on it at the top of the show that there's some noise around their recent results, playing inferior opponents. This is definitely not going to be the case. And we touched on the motivation edge. And yeah, the Cows just have too much to play for, and the Dogs are going to finally meet their level here, and it's going to be one step too far.
I think you make a great point there about this line, and we're still laying under double digits, and the Cowboys deserve to be, you know, rated right up there with all those other sites that were decent favourites against the Bulldogs. So what's changed? Probably just the last couple of weeks in recent memory, where players like Burton, Adokar, Marshall King, Avarillo, Carraz have had a field day, but you've nailed it there. The last two opponents, the Titans and the Knights, are the two worst teams in the NRL. Let's say how it is. So anybody would have looked good, and Dogs did look pretty good and won both those games by double digits, but that might have inflated some punters' opinions of the Canterbury Bulldogs, and they might think that Canterbury can hang with the Cowboys. I don't think they're going to be prepared for what the Cows will hit them with. I see the Cowboys quite similarly to the Sharks, who we are also playing for a best bet, and they've, you know, the similarities is quite a few. These teams exceeded everyone's expectations. No one really had Cows or Sharks top four, especially the Cowboys, but it's not fluky. These are squads where everyone is really bought in and they're enjoying the rewards of their hard work, and they're not taking their position or recent luck in close games for granted. In fact, you'll watch these sides and I'm seeing these teams get better, get crisper, and build connectivity in key positions. And not to mention, you know, just players that are playing out of their skin. And I mentioned the freak, Jeremiah Nanai, earlier, and Cotter back too, that you mentioned as well. So, you know, this is a decent line. It's reflecting where the Cowboys are in the standings, but we still reckon it's light on, and grab that 9.5 before it moves to the 10.5 that you can see on the screen. It's split about 9.5 in some places, 10.5. in others. So we definitely like laying the Cows at that single digit line. Finally, the Tigers host the Knights at Campbelltown. The Knights are plus 6.5 underdogs. And this is the jersey giveaway. If you are a resident of Australia and New Zealand, comment who you think will score the final try and the minute you reckon they'll score as a tiebreaker, and double opportunity to do that if you also comment on the in the thread for Winning Mood, which is our live show that looks at player performance and super coach with the current Supercoach champion, and that's live at 7:30 tonight. So I assume we already talked about Titans-Melbourne. It's fair to assume Gold Coast will lose that game. Then the wooden spoon battle probably comes down to the Gold Coast and the loser of this game, if you're wondering what's at stake. And why don't you lead us off with your thoughts on this game? I can't believe it's ended up as the primetime Sunday afternoon game after people, you know, have had a busy weekend and they sit down to watch some footy and they get served up Tigers Knights.
Yeah, it's going to be another ugly watch, as we saw last week with the Knights-Dogs game. But I don't know, I just get a funny feeling that with all the talk this week about the future of O'Brien and all their struggles with the ball and the media talking about how they won't win another game, this just feels like a spot where we're going to take the Tigers and lay them -4.5 and the Knights will turn up and win the game and exceed everyone's expectations. So that's the vibe that I'm getting from this game. But I just can't get behind this Knights team, especially when I think that some of the players do not respect O'Brien. And I think he has lost a playing group. And I know that everyone's professional and they get paid to do a job, but they might be looking at this as an opportunity to get a fresh voice and a new face come end of the season into the summer. That's my read on the Knights as a team, because I definitely feel that O'Brien has come in 2019, as you touched on in the recap, and he hasn't been able to live up to the expectations of his past predecessors, having been in as an assistant to two stellar organizations in the Roosters and the Storm, and he hasn't been able to implement any coaching ideas, and he keeps saying the same things every week, and we sit here and we say the same things every week, and I definitely feel like it's reflected upon the Knights as a mentality and as a squad, and you can definitely see it in their performances each week. And now, even without their best player in Ponga, I just struggle to see where the points are going to come from. Anthony Milford's not going to be there next year, so he's already signed with the club, so he's not even playing for a contract. I just look at the Tigers, and they're playing the more consistent and tough footy, and over the past month, no one's been able to question their attitude and effort. And they did get their first win under Kamali, breaking a 7-game losing streak. So then you can argue the coin flip to that is that will they be a bit of a letdown after that, getting that official win, even though they would have had a moral win against the Cowboys the week before. But Hastings is injured, which is a big blow for them. He's going to miss the rest of the year. And I've been impressed with the form of Adam Dewey. And when I look at the game breakers in this team, I think the Tigers are going to have the two best players on the field in Dewey and Dane Laurie. So I could make a case that this line should be 6.5 or 7. That's where I feel. But I just feel it's too easy to bet on the Tigers. And if it was under 4, then we'd probably lay it. But I'd lean them. But I just can't feel confident enough knowing that the Knights will probably shock everyone.
And I know that I've criticised Newcastle a lot this season, a lot more than the Tigers. And they're higher on the ladder than the Tigers. But I think it's because I expected more. And the issue, you know, with O'Brien, you're talking about, look, they did make the finals the last 2 years, but they're not getting any better, quite clearly. And we judge every team by how they perform relative to what they've, you know, what they've actually got available to them. And we feel that it's been, you know, very underwhelming what the Knights have put out as a product, even understanding, you know, the personnel and the injuries and the limitations. Whereas the Tigers, they've actually been fighting hard. And you said the last month, I could even go back 5 weeks, because if anyone watched that game where they lost 22-2 to New Zealand, given the circumstances of the first game on New Zealand soil in 3 years, West did their best in that game too. So I'm with you, like the obvious side to play is the Tigers, and it's going to be the side most people will back, and they probably should win this one. But losing Jack Hastings is massive. I know nobody will say losing Brooks is a big blow, but you lose the pair of them, it does add up. But mind you, Dewey's in great form, and Jock Madden probably had his best game in first grade last week, so now that's their halves combination moving forward. I also can't remember if I don't think I discussed the teams, but like the Knights have demoted David Clemmer. From what I heard, he was just like abusing and refusing to go off the field to their blue shirt last week when asked repeatedly. So this is a mess. Look, the Knights do get back Bradman Best. And while we both like really dislike everything about Newcastle and don't want to get on them, and I tell you what, I'm still incredulous. Like I'm bitter, as you can tell. I'm still incredulous that they cost us a best bet 2 or 3 weeks ago where they lost to Souths, who are missing 6 players. And have the nerve to say, oh, we underestimated our opponent and went easy on them. And O'Brien said, we've got to stop going easy on teams. No one underestimates us and goes easy on us. How do you know? Maybe teams do go easy on you, but you're that bad that you lose badly. Anyway, so, Wes, but I'm with you. It feels too obvious to take them. And look, you're paying a premium as well, because the line is over a converted try. So No one wants Knights. At some point, the Knights actually become value. We won't be backing them. I wouldn't back them with counterfeit money, but nevertheless, it's probably just too high to lay either. So we'll sit back. I would say enjoy, but that might be optimistic. We'll see what happens. But you'll enjoy it if you have a tip on the final try score. At least that's something you can cheer on, and you can be one of the many people, many happy people that have won a jersey following the pod this season. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Good luck with any punts you're making this weekend, whether you're riding with us or back to your own. Let us know what you think about plays and what your best bit of the weekend is. We'll be back Sunday night with our live recap as always. Have a great weekend, guys. Gamble responsibly and leg